Tonight we are going to observe the Lord's Supper. The unleavened bread, the cup, represent the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to go to John chapter 6 with me. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the precious blood of Jesus. Here Christ is teaching his disciples. And he shares some doctrine here that offends some of them. And we're going to see why as we go through this. John 6, verse 53. So then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my body is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of the disciples, when they heard this, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So let's look at this and understand something about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, the blood that flowed through his veins is different than what flows through our veins. His blood was sacred blood. And in by way of introduction, I want two thoughts I want to share with you before we get into the main body of the text. I want you to think about the sacrificial, saving blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 20:28, Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian elders. Whose blood was shed on the cross? Says it was the blood of God. God purchased the church with his own blood. Now you say, well, Brother Wes, God is a spirit. And spirits do not have blood. Well, he did when he was incarnated in Jesus Christ. And that was the reason for the virgin birth. Our blood is determined by our Father. Do you know that? The Father determines the blood of the children. Well, God had blood when he is incarnated Jesus Christ, and he was born of a virgin so that the sin of the fathers would not pass on to him. The sin of Adam was passed on from generation to generation. He was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. Not one drop of Adam's blood coursed through the veins of the Lord Jesus. Since the blood of Jesus was sacred blood, sinless and untainted, therefore it could be saving blood. As we read in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. The Bible says we're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now folks, listen. If we have no virgin-born Savior, then we have no sinless Son, no saving sacrifice, and no salvation. That was necessary. Amen. The sacrificial, saving blood of Jesus. And also, think about the sanctified, shared blood of Jesus. Because the Bible goes on to show us that the sacred saving blood of Jesus is to be shared blood. We are to share the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's talking about in this passage. He spoke to these people about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They were repulsed with that. They were grossed out. They were offended by this doctrine. Keep in mind, he's talking to Jews. And the Jews were taught in the Mosaic law to never eat or drink blood. Right? Genesis 9:4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. They were forbidden. Leviticus 3:17, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Now science now knows that to stay healthy, you should not eat fat nor rare meat. It's now well known that the blood is a carrier of many of the diseases that are in animals that we can ingest into our bodies. Write this verse down, Leviticus 17:11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The Bible declared that long before science figured it out. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. So folks, there's no forgiveness of sin apart from the needed blood sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. And the shedding of blood means death. So the payment of sin required a blood sacrifice. So you can understand why the Jews would be offended at the words of Jesus concerning the blood. They'd always been taught not to eat of the blood. You might remember there was a problem with this in the early churches in the book of Acts. The Christian Jews were upset with the Gentile Christians over their habit of eating meat with blood. They had this conference in Jerusalem. You read about it in Acts 15. And they came up with a solution that would prevent the Gentile believers from offending their Jewish brethren. Let's look at that. Go to Acts 15 and verse 28. Here's what they came up with. Here's the solution. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you, you Gentiles, no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. So, do you want a farewell in life? Well, don't commit fornication, and don't eat blood, or meat that has not been properly prepared. Things strangled is referring to meat not properly bled before you eat it. So what was Jesus saying back in our text when he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Folks, there's a deep spiritual meaning here. See, there's a material world and there's a spirit world, right? In the material world, we can find incredible lessons about the spirit world. The material world is often but an illustration of spiritual things. So all the material world is an illustration into deeper spiritual truth. So we're thinking not only about the sacrificial saving blood of Jesus, but also the sanctifying shared blood of the Lord Jesus. Now let me give you three truths tonight concerning this idea of the blood and sharing the blood. You want to write these down? First of all, there is the constant provision of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is the atoning of the blood. I thank God I've been saved and been pardoned, that my sin has been atoned for, that I'm justified in the sight of God. But folks, we're not finished with the blood of Christ when we get saved. His blood continually provides me with what I need in this life. Jesus says in verse 53, we have no life in us unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood. other words, Jesus is to your spirit what the blood is to your body. The blood means life. And to have spiritual life, you need Jesus. You need to be abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in Romans 5:10, where it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son," and there's the shed blood, "much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." There's the shed blood. Did you see that? The shed blood and the shared blood. You see, not only do we need to be reconciled by Jesus' death, we are to be saved by His life. Folks, Jesus Christ gave Himself for you that He might give Himself to you in this life. And in essence, we need the shared blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you look puzzled. So let's do this. Let's take an analogy of the body. We talked about the material world, explaining the spirit world. Let's do that. Think of the body. Think of the blood that courses through your body. To illustrate, think of a network of rivers and canals covering the land. There's a reservoir. Out of it are these rivers and canals that go throughout the land. And there's little vessels that float along on these rivers and canals. And they go past every village in the land. And all these vessels are everything people need. Food, medicine, tools, books, clothes, anything you might need, these vessels will bring to your village. Now they say in your body there are about 100 trillion cells. I counted this afternoon just to make sure. And that's true. Now what I want you to see here is a picture of the river of life flowing through your body in your bloodstream. These cells need to survive, and everything they need is in your bloodstream. Your blood is like a red river of life in your body. These blood cells are the little vessels floating along in your blood. From this bloodstream that flows throughout your body, it can pull out what it needs. These vessels bring what is necessary to the body. Oxygen, amino acids, sodium, nitrogen, potassium, calcium, magnesium, hormones. All that is needed is provided by these blood cells. Now you can live about 2 days without water. They say you can live 3 to 4 weeks without food. But folks, you can only live a few minutes without oxygen. And the oxygen is provided by the blood. It's provided through those red blood cells. Now the Bible told us long before science ever figured this out that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The human body depends upon the blood. Now listen, everyone in the body of Jesus Christ is dependent upon His blood. We're the members of the body of Christ, right? Each of us, to have a spiritual life, must depend upon the blood of Jesus. We must abide in the Lord Jesus Christ to enjoy this life. Not only is there continual provision of the blood, but there's also the cleansing properties of the blood of Christ. Not only does it bring to the cells of your body the things necessary for your body, it also cleanses the impurities out of your body. See, it's the blood that carries away the waste and garbage. For example, the lungs take in oxygen and they give off carbon dioxide. The same blood that brings the oxygen also collects the carbon dioxide and dispels it through the lungs. Blood cleanses your body. That's kind of interesting. It brings the food you need and it dispels the garbage. Can you imagine a food truck bringing the food you need and also taking away your garbage? You might not like that idea, but that's what's happening. As the material blood cleanses your body, So the spiritual blood of Christ cleanses his church. It cleanses us from sin. See, not only did he die to cleanse my past sins, he lives to cleanse me and keep me clean as I daily confess my sin and abide in him. You see that? Thirdly, I want you to see the conquering power of the blood of Christ. Again, let's look at an illustration. What would you say is the greatest enemy of life on earth? It's not war. It's not starvation. It's bacteria and viruses are the greatest enemies of mankind. I read in World War II, 8.5 million people died in that war. Yet I also read 25 million died in 1 year because of a flu epidemic. In 1348, the Black Plague hit Europe. They say about 1 million pilgrims had went to Rome where the Black Plague had broken out. And these people took that plague back home with them to various parts of Europe where they lived. 1/3 of the population of Europe died as a result of that plague. Germs and viruses invade the body from the outside, and our blood declares war upon these invaders. There are about 25 billion white blood cells that will grow when you have an infection to battle that infection. The doctor will take a blood sample to check your condition. If they see an increased amount of white blood cells, they know that an invader has entered your body and your body is mobilizing for war. At such a time, you may have 10 times the usual number of white blood cells. I also read that the average white blood cell may only live a day, half a day. But some will live 60 to 70 years. They say these are the ones that have sort of a chemical memory. They're connected to something called antibodies. Now these antibodies have the name, rank, and serial number of bacteria and virus that may come into your body. It identifies the virus and tells the lymph glands, then a great army of white blood cells mobilize to fight that virus. They say one antibody knows only the name, rank, and serial number of a particular invader. One knows polio, another may know the measles, and so forth. Sometimes the body is attacked by an invader that has no antibody that knows about this particular invader. The body's never seen this one before. And it takes time to put something together to fight against it. COVID was not recognized by what we've experienced in the past. And if the body does not have time to get some immune system going, the virus can kill the body. Which is why we immunize people with vaccinations. A vaccination lets the body know the name, rank, and serial number of that disease so it can fight it. A person who has already had this disease and overcome it has what doctors call wise blood. Now, I've never heard, how many of you ever heard of that? Wise blood. I guess I made it up. But I read that. Blood has been educated. Now, my blood has been educated about COVID, hopefully, since I've been through it. It now knows what it's dealing with. All right, now look at the explanation of this. There's a point to all of this. The blood of Jesus Christ is wise blood. Now think about this. Think of sin as a disease. And on the cross, Jesus took all of our sins upon himself. He took our sin. He overcame that sin upon the cross and through his resurrection. Now, when I have the spiritual blood of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing through me, I have the antibodies that can overcome anything that Jesus has already overcome. I have in me the shed blood of the overcomer, Jesus Christ. It's the blood that already has the name, rank, and serial number of every demon and every device in Satan's kingdom. That's how we overcome. This is what Jesus said in John 16:33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." All right? Put that with another verse, Revelation 12:11, where it talks about believers, that they overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. That's good stuff. That's Bible. We overcome the devil by the wise blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already overcome the devil. And we share in that with the Lord Jesus. We can resist the devil and he will flee from us. So we know how the blood saves us from sin. But how does that blood of Christ flow through us to keep us? He said back in verse 63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Folks, that's the key to understanding all this. The word of God is to your spirit what blood is to your body. You eat the flesh of Jesus, you drink his blood by feeding upon the word of God. By abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our spiritual bread and water. Let these words live in you. Abide in you. Heed the words of this book. And folks, it'll give you the power to conquer sin and Satan in your life. There is safety in the shed blood of Jesus. There's strength in the shared blood of Jesus. Have you applied the blood of Jesus by faith in your life? Are you under the blood? Are you under the blood? As the Israelites put the blood on the doorposts, when the death angel came, it passed over them. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So don't trust in your good works or anything else for your salvation. Trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior.